The following is a presentation from the pulpit of Lancaster Baptist Church. For more audio and video content from our ministry, please visit lancasterbaptist.org.
Colossians 3, 22 through 25. I better start preaching, amen? Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for the text that is before us. And Lord, we know there's a first century context, but we know there's an application for each and every one of us tonight. And so I just pray, Lord, that as we delve into this passage, that we would learn and grow and be challenged. And Father, that all of us in this room would leave this place tonight more servant-hearted, more like you. And I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. Slavery was a part of the Roman culture in the Apostle Paul's day and throughout the first century and for many centuries beyond that, frankly. And as we come to the text tonight, we hear the challenge from the Apostle Paul, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Slavery was something that was challenged and really reversed as a result of Christian men. But in the first century, there was not a great attempt to overthrow or abolish slavery. This was a period of time when Christianity in and of itself was just being established. The gospel was being preached. Churches were being established. And so in the text, the Apostle Paul uses this matter of slavery as a teaching tool for us in what we might call the employee-employer relationship, to teach all of us how to have the right servant's heart. And in fact, in the New Testament, servants were implored to do what they did as unto the Lord, even when they had a master that was not godly. They were to serve as unto the Lord. And masters who were Christians were implored to allow those that were servants either freedom or to treat them with dignity. And so wherever Christianity spread, even in the very earliest days, always there was the advancement of what some would call human relations or human dignity, and that came to full fruition when men like William Wilberforce and men like John Newton were instrumental in the overturning of slavery as it was known even throughout the British Empire. In fact, John Newton's gravestone, which I had the privilege of seeing several years ago, reads as follows. John Newton, who is, by the way, the author of Amazing Grace, John Newton, clerk, once an infidel and libertine, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. In an instant, John Newton, who had labored to destroy others, was saved and transformed from a trader of slaves to a slave of Jesus Christ. Appointed to preach the faith, grace did not free him to serve no master. Instead, it freed him to serve a new master. What the New Testament teaches us about the matter of servanthood is that the ground is level at the cross. Whether it was a servant or a master, employer, employee, whether it was someone that had a job in the government or a job in other affairs, everyone that is a Christian is equal in Jesus Christ. The ground is level at the cross. And we as believers belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was William Wilberforce in the British Parliament and John Newton and others who began to rise up. And contrary to some of the critics of Christianity today and some of the critics of the Bible, the fact of the matter is that slavery was abolished in great part because of Christians who said, this is wrong, this should not be this way, all men should be treated equally according to the Word of God. And yet as the Apostle Paul is writing in this passage, It was not his ministry at this time to speak to the abolishment of first century slavery, which was really very much a part of the Roman culture. It was not his mission to overturn the Roman government or to fight the government. It was his mission to get some people saved, or there would have never been churches or Christianity a few centuries later had he not preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, having begun the Christian faith just years after the Lord Jesus was resurrected, he is here challenging those who were servants to serve as unto the Lord, and those who were masters to be kindly as the Lord would have them to be kindly. And so tonight, I've entitled the message, Thoughts for Servants. Thoughts for Servants. For the Bible says in Mark 10:45, even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and to be a ransom, to give himself a ransom for many. How many of you understand tonight, there is no job too small in God's work? And I don't care if it's picking up trash or the glorious privilege of picking up tumbleweeds, or if it's some other thing, if it's done for the Lord and in the name of the Lord, there's no small job in the work of the Lord. Now let's notice tonight in our notes, first of all, the remembrance of a servant. The remembrance of a servant. And notice in verse 22, the Bible says, "And servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God." Now, the main duty of a servant was to obey the master. And there is a command to obey. Servants, obey in all things your master. The word obey is the word hupakao. The word hupo means under, or to listen to, or to hearken to. It is to recognize our position, that we are under authority. By the way, every person in this room is under authority. All of us. Every pastor is under authority. Every person is under the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us in the employment relationship are under someone. And the Bible says that we're to obey those who give us direction. And in fact, it says we're to obey in all things, to have a heart of submission. I wonder sometimes what unsaved bosses would think if Christian employers would be less, or employees, less argumentative and more servant-hearted. I wonder if some of them might get saved if instead of fighting for our rights, we were willing to serve as unto the Lord. The Bible says we're to obey in all things. And that should be our attitude in our relationship with the Lord. Someone said the only part of the Bible that we truly believe is the part we obey. And God wants us to be in subjection to His Word. And as employees, in subjection to, not manipulating, not fighting, not arguing, but in all things obedient to those for whom we to whom we report to, or to those to whom for whom we work. God rewards obedience, and that's the simple fact. God is looking for obedient servants. The Bible says in Genesis 22:18 concerning Abraham, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Now the fact is tonight that we teach our children to obey. And we teach our children. I've been teaching Camden, our grandson, that delayed obedience is disobedience. And if I tell him to take something in the garbage, or if I tell him to do some little thing, I know his parents are, and I'm trying to assist them in helping them to realize to obey immediately, because delayed obedience is disobedience. Let's say that together. Delayed obedience. If God put something on your heart tonight, don't delay to obey God. But let me just encourage you. If you walk in tomorrow to work, and someone that is over you in the system there, or in the workplace there, your boss, so to speak, says, listen, Joe, I need you to take this pallet over here, or Sally, I need you to check these blood pressures over there, or whatever the case might be, and you perhaps had your day outlined just a little bit differently. By the way, how many of you know we can plan and plan and plan, but things don't always go according to plan? And what the Bible is teaching us here would be this, that when someone gives you something to do that's not according to your plan, that as unto the Lord, the proper response should be, sure. I love what Danielle and Peter are teaching Camden to say. Of course. Camden, can you take out the trash? Of course. Camden, it's time come in, and are you ready to eat? Of course. And I believe that many times we as adults need to have that attitude. Of course. The boss says, I need you to come off that project and come over here. We've got to get this done. I know you're planning to do that, but we need to get this done. Of course. Let's all practice saying that. Of course. Sure. And that's the spirit, you see. The command to obey. What do we obey in all things? Now, look at, I don't want you to get in a big line tonight afterwards and say, but you don't know my boss. He's an idiot. She's an idiot. They're not equipped. They're ill-prepared. They're younger than I am. They're this, they're that. They only got the job because of blah, blah, blah. I understand that. We're going to see in a minute, we're not obeying them. We're not doing it for them. We're going to see that in a minute. What do we obey in all things? And who is it then that we're to obey? Well, first of all, back to the context of verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. These masters in the first century were only men. But they were to be followed because of their position in the servant's life. Exodus 16 and verse 8 said this, For that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Listen, when the people of Israel murmured against Aaron and against Moses, God said, hey, you're not murmuring against Aaron and Moses, you're murmuring against me. How many of you believe God is sovereign? How many believe God's in charge? Okay, so that means this. That means that God, for whatever reason, has allowed that knucklehead that's called your boss to be your boss. And God says, I know he's a knucklehead. I know he needs to get saved. I know he's got all these problems, but I put you there like I put Joseph in Egypt. I put you there for a reason. I put you there so that you'll be the best worker that guy's ever had. So you'll be the only guy that ever says, of course. So you'll be the one that by being faithful and loving and kind, one day you're going to put a gospel tract in that man's hand and he's going to get saved because you weren't a loud mouth, foul mouth worker, but you were someone that he could depend on. You were someone that did the right thing and you did it right away. And you see, that's why Christians ought to obey their employers, because we are a testimony for Jesus Christ. Say, well, I've been told to do something illegal or unethical. That's different. No one advocates doing something immoral or illegal for a boss, but just because it's inconvenient or uncomfortable doesn't give us the right to complain, to murmur. And so we are to follow the command to obey. But I want you to notice, secondly, the reason we obey. Why do we have to obey? Why do we have to follow this old-fashioned book called the Bible? Well, look in verse 22 again. It says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, the reason we obey is very clearly given in the scriptures tonight. First of all, we do not obey simply for men's sake, or simply when men are seeing what we're doing. And it says that in verse 22, not with eye service as a man pleaser, someone that's courting the favor of men. As Christians, our job is not fundamentally to make the boss happy. It's not fundamentally to make someone that's in authority happy. Now, it's not wrong to do that. It's not wrong to be an encouragement to your boss. It's not wrong for children to encourage their parents. It's not wrong to want to encourage someone that's in authority. But fundamentally, you need to get this in your heart and mind, that you do what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers. Not the kind of guy that just, oh, here comes the boss. I'm going to look busy. Hey, Mr. Boss, how you doing? Just writing you a thank you note right now for the job. Hope you're having a wonderful day. You're a great guy. All right, wonderful. No. Not just busy when the boss comes by. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but notice this, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Now, this is where the consistency comes along. Turn in your Bibles very quickly to Ephesians 6 and verse number 6. Ephesians 6:6. Because the servant recognizes, the Christian servant recognizes that there is a command to obey. But God does not ask us simply out of duty to obey, but God gives us a reason to obey. And the reason is greater than you and it's greater than me. The reason we obey is for the glory of God. It's for God Himself that we do what we do. Ephesians 6:6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of whom? Doing the will of God from the what? From the heart. Now, sometimes people say, well, I just don't want to do what I'm doing for men. Okay, that's good. And I want to do what I'm doing because I love the Lord. All right, that's fine. And sometimes people say, well, I don't want to just do it because it's a standard or a leadership requirement. That's good. By the way, if every Christian was filled with the Spirit, you would not need a leadership requirement to tell people to go to church, to tithe, to witness, to whatever. I love that. No, we shouldn't do it because it's on a list. We shouldn't have to do it because pastor says let's do it or someone else. I'm all for you on that. We should do it because we have a heart for God. Okay, good. We agree with that. So what does it mean when we don't do what we're supposed to do because we have a heart for God? What does that mean? The Bible says in Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers. If we agree with that, say amen. We don't just do it for men. We don't just go soul winning for Brother Furso. We don't just sing in the choir for Brother Guy. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. How do the servants of Christ do it? Doing the will of God from the heart. So let's review this again. I don't want to do what I do just for men. I don't want to do what I do just because I have to. Okay, fine. It's not totally wrong to do it because it's listed out or just for those reasons in the sense of duty. There's some merit to that, but I get it. There's a deeper motivation. Paul said, the love of Christ constrains me. I want to do what I do because I love Jesus. How many of you are on board with that? I don't want to do it just as a man pleaser. I want to do the will of God from the heart. I want to sing from my heart. I want to serve from my heart. I want to witness from my heart. I want to do it for the right reason. All right. Wonderful. You are free indeed to serve. You have liberty to serve. What does it mean then when someone doesn't serve? Does it mean that something's wrong in the heart? Because we didn't want to do it over here for men. That's right. We only want to do it for the Lord. That's right. So when someone doesn't sing, doesn't serve, doesn't give, doesn't read the Bible, now then we're beginning to see the heart of the problem is a problem of the heart. And God says, the reason you obey is not for men, not as men pleasers, but doing the will of God from the heart, in singleness of heart, fearing God, you see. And notice that phrase, in singleness of heart. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And God says in Psalm 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. And so, very simply stated, the remembrance of a Christian servant is this. I do what I do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and out of the fear of the Lord. And yes, I'm going to give an account to my boss, and yes, I might have an annual review, and they're going to tell me how I'm doing, and I get that, and that's a part of life, and we have annual reviews right here in this ministry as well. That's all good and fine, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'll tell you who gets the best annual review. It's the one that's not doing their job for the annual review. It's the one that with singleness of heart is doing their job for Jesus. And if you will go to work tomorrow, wherever you work, and if you will say, I'm here for the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm doing what I do for the Lord Jesus Christ, and if my boss isn't friendly, and if he gives me a task I don't want to do, I'm going to say, of course, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, because I want Jesus to look good today. I'm doing it for Him. It just gives you a much better motivation for doing what you're doing. It's a higher motivation for living. It's a Christ-centered motivation, not a man-centered motivation. It is a Christ-centered motivation of which I speak tonight. And the remembrance of the servant, you keep it in your mind every day. Before anything else, I am a Christian. I'm not an E4 in the Air Force. I'm not a contractor on a construction site. I'm not a deputy sheriff. I'm not a nurse. I, first and foremost, am a child of God, and I'm here to serve Jesus today. If Jesus wants me to serve Him by hammering some nails, if Jesus wants me to serve Him in the doctor's office, if Jesus wants me to serve Him carrying a gun and a badge, so be it. But I'm going to do all that I do for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what a true servant keeps in mind all the time. But notice secondly, the reverence of a servant. Now, whether in the first century or whether in the context of our daily lives as Christian servants. By the way, how many of you believe that all of us are full-time Christian servants? We often hear that. Here's Brother Furso, he's a full-time Christian servant, and he is. But did you know, if you really scripturally look at it, we're all full-time Christian servants? What does that mean? Me and Brother Furso and the pastoral staff, Brother Christian, we're full-time. We're full-time. You guys only have to be Christians on Sunday. We're full-time. You guys have a good day tomorrow. I don't think that's how that works. I think we're all serving Jesus tomorrow. In fact, you guys have the blessing of being able to be around some sinners tomorrow who need Jesus. And your light's going to get to shine brighter tomorrow because of that. And so the fact of the matter is that every servant should remember, I'm doing this for the Lord. But notice the reverence of a servant. Verse 23. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Now here we see the reverential attitude of a servant that understands everybody is in full-time Christian ministry. First of all, notice it in how we serve. How does God want us to live our lives out tomorrow? We are to serve heartily. Notice that in verse 23. Whatsoever ye do, do it how? I don't care if you're changing spark plugs. I don't care what it is that you're doing. God says, I want you to do it heartily. That means with all sincerity. Heard of a man that was walking into a bank, and he walked up to the business counter, and he was waiting for the clerk, and the clerk was on the phone chatting and chatting and chatting. The man was waiting and waiting. We've all been there. Finally, the man overheard the clerk say, hold on a minute, I'm being interrupted by a customer. And oftentimes, that seems to be the attitude today. I mean, you're there, money in your pocket, you want to buy something, and you're interrupting somebody's private little situation or someone's phone call or someone's texting or whatever it might be. You know what that's indicative of? It's indicative of somebody that is not doing their job heartily or with sincerity. They're there, but they're really not there. And by the way, if you're going to go to work tomorrow, you might as well plug in and get something done. We might as well be there heartily. Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In other words, whatever you're going to get done, you better get it done while you're breathing, and you better do it now if you're going to get it done. Get it done. Get it done for the glory of God. And so how do we serve? Heartily. But you say, where's the word reverence come from? Notice the next part of that verse. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Now here again, we see the reverence. That means that every task the Christian does, in a sense, is a holy task separated unto God. Everything we do. Painting a wall, singing a song, building something, everything we do is as unto the Lord. We need to get off this mindset of, well, I'm going to go practice for the choir. I'm going to go coach the boys. I'm going to go do this. That's the ministry. Hey, I got to tell you something. You're in the ministry when you're in Palmdale, when you're in Santa Clarita, when you're in LA, doing whatever you do there. You are still God's servant. Brother Rick Bishop over here has a business where he has to travel around. And most of you that know Brother Rick, you're not going to get around him very long before he asks you if you're saved. That's a good thing. And I've had several calls over the years from somebody, maybe from a gas station or some florist shop or wherever Brother Bishop was. And Brother Bishop recognizes he's out there doing the business, whatever his business is, selling stuff out there with his truck. But he views his life this way. I'm out there on the road, not just peddling stuff. I'm out there serving Jesus. I've had several people call and say, does this guy go to your church and he gave me this? And one or two who've said, I prayed and accepted Christ as my Savior. Why is that? Because here's a man just recognizing everywhere he goes, he's out there as the representative, the ambassador of Jesus Christ. And so the Bible says, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto man. We are serving the Lord. Romans 12 and verse 11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Would you turn there for a moment? Romans 12 and verse 11. You can share this at staff meeting. And if the liberal attorneys get after you, just tell them to call me. Because the best employers and employees ought to be Christians. Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Let's say that together. Not listen, whatever we do, it ought to be just with the fervent spirit. I don't care if it's going out soul winning. Instead, we ought not to walk like the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm telling you, just looking at them, I wouldn't want to be one. Number one, they're carrying suitcases out soul winning and just walking around suitcases. Number two, they're walking around just kind of so sad. Like that. Number three, they have to sell stuff. How many are glad we're not selling stuff? We're giving the gospel. Listen, you're going to go out soul winning. You ought to have a spring in your step. You ought to walk up to the door and happily and, hi, we're from Lancaster Baptist Church. We're just out here telling people about the Lord. We're inviting people to church. You ought to have a fervency in your spirit and thank God that you have the privilege of being saved. Thank God that you have the privilege of sharing the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at that verse, Romans 12:11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Say that with me, serving the Lord. Serving the Lord. Hey, tomorrow morning, on your way down to work, just for a minute, turn off talk radio. Say, but Pastor, I have to hear Rush Limbaugh because otherwise I don't know how to argue when I get to work. All right. I don't know who you listen to, but just turn it off just for a minute. And just spend some time with the Lord in prayer. Say, Lord, I'm about to get to work. Help me to remember today that I'm your servant. I'm your servant. And help me to act like you want me to act. By the way, many times the Lord will cause us to do just that little extra thing. Just that kindness for a widow lady. Just that help. By the way, can I tell you something about your grumpy boss? He may have a marriage in trouble. He may have a teenager on drugs. He may have all kinds of problems too. It might be that you could help him. It might be that you let your light so shine before men that he sees your good works and even asks you to help him. Because you are faithful and he knows there's something different in your life. The remembrance of a servant, I'm doing this for the Lord. The reverence of a servant, I'm doing this heartily as unto the Lord. Notice thirdly, the review of a servant. Now notice this in verse 24. It tells us that we're to serve as unto the Lord. And then it says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Now just think about this for a moment, because many of those early Christians were literally slaves. Some of them had kindly masters. Some of them were set free. Some of them who were set free didn't want to go free. They loved their master. They chose to stay. But many of them would never have the hope of an inheritance. They would never have the hope of something coming their way down the road. That was just unimaginable to them. And so the Apostle Paul gives to them not just false motivation, but the reality of the hope that one day they would be rewarded by the Lord. Now look right here. Sometimes in serving the Lord, you're going to feel like nobody noticed. You're going to feel like nobody gave you what was due. You're going to feel like you got ripped off. And if you're not careful, you're going to complain and you're going to yickety-yak about it. And you're going to lose the blessing, because if you really did it for the Lord, it will not matter if someone gives you an attaboy or not. The fact of the matter is that every single one of us tonight need to realize that even when men miss it, and even when you don't get the review you thought you should get, there is one final review coming, and Jesus will set everything straight then. And that's what Paul says. Even if your boss doesn't see it, even if he doesn't treat you the way you should have been treated, even if he doesn't give you the incentive that you should have received, please remember that there is coming a day, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Verse 24, for ye serve the Lord Christ. He said, I want you to remember that. You serve the Lord. He's keeping the record. He's giving the review. He's giving you the annual review. You will receive that of the Lord. And so the review of the servant, let's look at that very quickly. First of all, every one of us should want a good review. A good review. Ephesians 6 and verse 8 says, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Did you hear that? Whether he be bond or free. Whether it was a slave or a free man, whatever they did heartily as unto the Lord, they could expect to be rewarded by the Lord for their faithfulness. Colossians 3:24, again, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Always remember that. Always remember that no matter what happens here on this earth, we're going to stand before the Lord and we're going to give an account for how we have served Him. And always remember to serve Him with that day in mind. A.W. Tozer said, before the judgment seat of Christ, my service will be judged not by how much I have done, but by how much I could have done. In God's sight, my giving is measured not by how much I have given, but by how much I have left after I have made my gift. Not by its size is my gift judged, not by how much of me there is in it, but by how much of me there is in it. No man gives at all until he has given all. No man gives anything acceptable to God until he has first given himself in love and sacrifice. Tozer's just saying, look, the measure is not another person. The measure is not what we did before. The measure is, Lord, here's my whole life. I want my life to be a living sacrifice for you. The Lord knows the heart. And so the Bible says that we should desire a good review. We should desire to hear those words, well done, thou faithful, good and faithful servant. But notice there will also be a bad review. Now notice this, it says in verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. Now the fact is that none of us who are saved will be judged for our sin. When it says doeth wrong, it's not speaking here of the sins that we would necessarily commit. How many of you thank God that our sins are under the blood of Jesus Christ? But what is it that we can do wrong as servants? And that's the context. What we can do wrong as servants are two things. Number one, we can know that there's an opportunity to serve and be convicted to do it, but not do it. Just say, I don't do windows. Number two, we can do service with a wrong heart attitude. The Bible would refer to that as wood, hay, and stubble. And at the judgment seat of Christ, if I do something grudgingly, if I'm in church tonight going, oh, I'd rather be watching the 49ers. I know we're old-fashioned. I'm thankful I heard the guy say amen, but I'd still rather be watching the 49ers. Guess what? There's no reward for being in church tonight. If we do what we do with a grudging attitude. The Bible calls that wood, hay, and stubble. So when we have that attitude, or when we shirk a God-given responsibility, at those times we are not doing the good work that God wants us to do. Matthew 25:26, the Bible says, his Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed, and yet the servant was unfaithful. 1 Corinthians 3:15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. And many Christians will suffer loss because when they could have served out of a loving heart, they grudgingly did what they did. And God is teaching in this passage that our heart in service is as important as the service that we do. And so we must recognize some will get a good review, some will get a bad review. And tonight, this is Human Resources Orientation 101, and we're all being challenged. Hey, let's do everything we do heartily and as unto the Lord, so that when we get the review, we get a good review. That God is well pleased with the way that we have served. And let me tell you one other thing about this review before I close. It will be an impartial review. It will be an impartial review. Every once in a while, someone in the church will say to me, Pastor, pray for me. I'm having a meeting. I'm having a review by this boss of mine who hates Christians. He's gay. He's this. He's that. And I just don't think it's going to be fair. And I hear that often. People say, he doesn't like me because I'm a Christian, so forth. And in the world sense, sometimes we face a partial panel. We face a group that maybe does have a bias towards certain things about our lives. But I got to tell you something about the Lord. He is faithful and true. And I want you to see this as we close. Verse 25. For he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. Let's say that together. And there is
no respect of persons.
In other words, no one's going to come and say, reporting to you, Lord, I want you to know I was a deacon first class at Lancaster Baptist Church. I can't say, Lord, I was pastor 27 years, Lancaster Baptist Church. Listen, when it comes to that day, there's no Sunday school pins, there's no uniforms, there's no stars, there's no patches. It's just Christians standing before the Lord. And the Lord, as a fiery judge, is not going to look at titles. And I believe this with all of my heart. There will be people from this church that none of us ever knew, that never stood on this platform, who in the proverbial sense will be way in the front of that line at the judgment seat of Christ. People like the widow and the widow's mite. People who prayed when others slept. People who just faithfully from a pure heart served God. And God sees it. And God is no respecter of persons. And God is going to reward those who have faithfully served Him. It is an impartial review. Just recently, on the 100th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic, there was a memorial dedicated in Belfast, in the United Kingdom. Uniquely, this particular memorial was the first memorial for the Titanic and for those who were lost in the shipwreck that placed the names of those who perished in alphabetical order rather than defining them by distinction of crew or passenger and class. Most all the other plaques give the title of the person that perished, whether they were a lord, whether they were a mayor, whether they were captains, whether they were seamen first class. All the other plaques were listed in accordance of this world's titles. But the names on the plaque in Belfast simply reveal the age at death, the date of the birth, and the name of the person in alphabetical order. And I want you to know that at the judgment seat of Christ, we will all stand on equal ground. Titles will not matter. All that will matter is that we serve God from a pure heart. The impartial judge knows. Romans 2 and verse 10. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile, for there is no respecter of persons with God. Now, folks, we live in a day when people are constantly fighting for their rights. People constantly wanting so-called equal rights. And the whole argument has gotten so skewed that it may be soon that the Boy Scouts will have gay troop leaders. People are fighting for their so-called rights to the place that they are now calling bad good and good bad. They're calling good evil and evil good. It's getting so twisted. And I believe the text before us tonight commissions us not to be the best fighters for our rights, but to be the best servants for our Lord. I remember when we were getting ready to start the Los Angeles Baptist Church. Brother Sal Minivar is the pastor there, and recently they were able to purchase their own building, and God is really blessing the church there. And some of our Bible college students had been knocking doors for about 6 or 8 months, and then we began the church, and Brother Sal began pastoring. And we went down just to survey the area, and we went to a church not far from where they are currently on Rampart and Temple down in that area. We went into the church, large edifice. And we asked for the pastor. And the pastor came out and I said, I'm Pastor Chapel from Lancaster, California. And we have a burden for the greater Los Angeles area. And we would like to plant a church nearby. And we're just trying to figure out who's nearby and what they teach. And this was a Baptist church by name. I said, Pastor, I know you're busy. I said, I'd like to just simply ask you this question. What do you tell people? What would you tell someone who asked you, what do I need to do to know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven? I said, how would you answer that question? In the foyer of this church was a large portrait of Johnny Cochran. It was a church very involved in civil rights and social issues. But still, I had hoped that Maybe underneath all of that, there might have been somewhere, still in the fiber of that Baptist church, a place for Jesus. And I will never forget that pastor looking at me, and he said, if someone wants to go to heaven, then they've got to get in the fight, and they've got to fight for rights, and they've got to march, and they've got to be a part of the social gospel that we preach. And as they engage themselves in the fight for rights, then they, through their good works, will attain a way to heaven. And I remember walking out of that church, and I said, Brother Sal, you could start the church across the street from this church in good conscience. I believe every one of us need to recognize and be very clear tonight in our understanding that as we serve the Lord, that He is looking tonight for saved people who will from a pure heart serve Him and who will say, Lord, I want to do what I'm doing, not to earn my way into heaven, not as a man pleaser, but I want to do what I'm doing as unto the Lord, who is the righteous judge, who is the equal and fair judge. And I want you to know that in the end, it will be worth it all when we see Christ. It will be worth it all. And I want to challenge you as you go out to your workplaces tomorrow to recognize that every one of us are all the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I plan my planner, and I have an organizer, and I try to live by it, and I've got devices. I've got little things that ring bells at me to tell me when it's time to do what I'm supposed to do. It all starts early in the morning. I mean, as it started this morning, some song Brother Whitman put on my phone. Ah! Wake me up. He thought he'd be real funny and put that one on there. All it did was make me mad at him on Sunday morning. I woke up thinking, why did he put that on my phone? And all throughout the day, ring, ding, don't forget, ding, ding, do this, and this reminder, that reminder. But listen, do you know what I try to do during the day? And I try to plan my day, and I need those reminders because I can forget. But what I try to do with every day is I try to walk in the Spirit. And I try to listen to the Lord, because sometimes as a servant of the Lord, though I've got these five big things to do, sometimes there's something right here, right in front of me, that God wants me to do. Sometimes He wants me just to take time. Seems like this week, I don't know why, out in our community, three times, God crossed my path with someone thinking about suicide. Someone that had reached the depths of despair. It seemed like what God wanted me to do there, though no one would know who it is, and though it wasn't what I had on my, it just seemed like God wanted me to listen, God wanted me to say, God wanted me to help. And I want you to just live this week with this thought in mind, that Christian service is not just a Sunday occasion, but it's a way of life. And God has called all of us to serve Him heartily as unto the Lord. Listen, if anyone here tonight has been kind of a little grumbly about, gotta drive the bus, gotta sing in the choir, or at work, there he is. Could I encourage you tonight? Would you give that to the Lord? Would you lay that at the altar? And would you leave this place tonight saying, Jesus, thank you that I can walk. Thank you that I can breathe. Thank you that I'm saved. Thank you that I'm your servant. Jesus, help me to serve the way you would serve this week. And Jesus, when I see you, the impartial judge that you are, I pray that I'll have a few crowns that I can lay back down at your feet. Father in heaven, we thank you tonight for this practical passage. And I pray that every one of us, as parents, as spouses, as workers, every one of us as Christians, would heartily, from the heart, serve you, doing the will of God from the heart. I pray that if there's been some loss of joy, or some false motivation, that we would repent of that tonight, and that we would leave here just glad that we can serve you, thankful that you saved us and that you called us.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If this message has helped you, we hope you will share with a friend or family member, We always love to hear from those whom God has changed through His Word. Share your story with us at lancasterbaptist.org/contact.